We gather this morning to remember Stan and to give thanks for him. And we gather in the church where he and Gwen so often went, so often came to worship among us. An hour, just a few minutes this morning, which would direct our attention to some of the chapter that we read, John chapter 16, just the first four verses. We gather in a Christian place of worship for a Christian funeral. And we gather because the Lord Jesus Christ has come, has lived, has died, has risen again. And Christ, speaking to his disciples, says those words that so often are read at funerals. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to just think of three things this morning. First of all, the person who speaks here. Secondly, the promise that he gives. And thirdly, the prospect that he opens up in his words. First of all, the person. The person is Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem. And before he was born, he was given the name Jesus with that promise, he shall save his people from their sins. He calls himself the Son of Man. He tells us the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He comes from heaven. He speaks of himself as the Son of God. He tells us that he is one with the Father, not one person, but that there is a glorious unity between him and the Father. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. It was natural at that time. They were coming up to the point where he would be betrayed and taken off and crucified. It was natural that their hearts should be troubled. We are human beings, our hearts are troubled by many things. It is natural when we contemplate death that our hearts are troubled. And the answer to that is not to shove these things to one side and forget about them, but rather it is personal trust. He says, you believe in God. They were pious men, they believed in God, and not just in a God, but the God who has revealed himself in the scriptures. But he tells them to go one further than that. You believe in God. More than this, he says, believe in me, put your trust in me. And this faith is not simply a matter of accepting certain statements about Jesus. It does involve that. But it is more than that. It involves putting a personal trust in him. God with us, the man who can say, whoever has seen me has seen the Father, the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He tells us to look to him, to put our trust in him, the person who speaks. Secondly, we see the promise that he gives, the promise that he gives. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. There are many in the world who will tell us what they think we want to hear, whether it is true or not. Jesus Christ is not like that. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Now, when he speaks of my Father's house, he is speaking of where God is. He is speaking of God's residence, if you will. And the phrase here, many mansions, the original Greek word, because of course the New Testament is written in Greek, means a place to live. Not just a hotel room, not just a temporary place to stay, but a place to live. And there are many, he says, that it's not that any will be shut out because it's not big enough, but any may come and dwell where he is. And I go and prepare a place for you. Where does he go? Well, first of all, he goes to the cross. He says this before the cross. He says, I will go to the cross and I will give my life a ransom for many to prepare a place for you, for all those who will put their trust in him. I go to prepare a place for you. He goes to suffer and to die in the place of those whom he saves. He is the one of whom the Apostle Peter says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Because he doesn't go to prepare a place for those who are good, upstanding people in and of themselves. He doesn't go to prepare a place for those who are without any fault, because there are none without any fault. He goes to prepare a place for those who, weak as they are, put their trust in him. And then, yes, he will go to heaven. He will go in the ascension to be with the Father. And then we have the prospect finally. If I go, I will come again. There is a future. We are at a funeral. And it's very easy to think of a funeral as an ending. But it is not a final ending. It is not a final line drawn under things. But there is a prospect. There is a future yet to come. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When Jesus ascended on high, his disciples stood there looking up into heaven, and two angels appeared and asked them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you have seen go up into heaven, shall come down from heaven in the same manner. He who the clouds received him from sight, he is coming with clouds. And he says that when he comes, he will raise up on the last day all that believe in him. And he doesn't say all those who have everything together and believe in him. He says all those who believe in him. And those who believe in him have their struggles, their trials, their troubles. We are in the world. We are passing away with the world. We suffer illness, infirmity, and death, but Christ promises a prospect, a glorious day that is to come to all who follow him. As the hymn writer puts it, Lord Jesus, thou hast promised to all that follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And what does that mean? It means that this is not the end. I had the privilege of knowing Stan for the best part of 15 years. And he was a character, as I'm sure all of you would say and would agree. And I knew that, and I came to know that he had a quiet but very real faith in the Lord Jesus. And therefore can say that Christ will raise him up on the last day. I'm reminded of words of an old hymn writer back in the 18th century considering these things and death. And he says, and when I'm to die, receive me, I'll cry. My Jesus has loved me, I cannot tell why. But this I do find, we two are so joined, he'll not be in glory and leave me behind. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus says. You believe in God, believe also in me. Christ has died, Christ is risen. And so we can put our trust in him, rely upon him, and cast ourselves on him in our weakness, in our sorrow, and in our time when death comes at last. And we can trust, stand then to him, knowing that he is good and does good. Amen.